Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
It's too late to go out, but we're too young to stay in, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Ball's here.
All right.
Pete Donaldson's here.
Oh, get your desk up.
It's the Football Ramble.
Luke.
How come it took you so long to get me out of Pete's flat?
The lads are back. We've just released Luke.
Yeah.
We kept him in there for
what a release it was.
That's why I had to be taken out.
Sorry, I was just doing my shoelace up. What were you saying?
Nothing, mate.
Yeah, it took you a week to get me out.
Yeah.
What are you doing your shoelace? They're Velcro, surely.
Yep.
Slip-ons. Now then, what with recent happenings, if you could cast two managers in a presidential-style debate, who would you choose, and how would you see it panning out, Jim?
OK, well, I would go for the Master and the Apprentice, frankly. It's Tim Sherwood, and it's Harry Redknapp.
Very good.
I like that.
Beautiful.
It's for England or Aston Villa.
They'd just be agreeing on everything, though, wouldn't they?
Well, that's the thing. They can't, can they?
Yeah,
because
it's a
debate. You know, how does this go? Because Harry can play this game very well, can't he? He can say a lot of kind of slightly endearing, sort of mad old Cockney uncle stuff without actually saying anything. And Sherwood's very much a bluffer as well, isn't he? That's his stock in trade at the moment, it would seem. And I would like to see how Redknapp taught him some lessons, really.
I think Sherwood would take it down to the trenches early on.
You think?
Yeah, he would.
And I think that would be his undoing.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I'm not sure. I think Sherwood would try and butter up Harry a bit and go, oh, I've always admired this man. And then Redknapp would do it. But Redknapp is obviously quite all about himself.
I think Sherwood.
And then Redknapp would drop one in and actually Sherwood would suddenly go, oh my goodness, he's gone for me.
Still
there.
Got it.
If I was briefing Sherwood, if I was on the Sherwood camp in the press room beforehand and we had to work on our strategy, I would say, go out there, big him up, say, yeah. Look, if you want the guy who's done everything, been there, seen it all, done it all, Harry Redknapp's your candidate. But if you want someone with a vivacious young energy, someone who can get things done, who's not going to be tired all the time, who's not got dodgy knees, who can get out there and get things done, and likes to leave the general area of sandbanks in Dorset in the United Kingdom, I am not your man, but I'm more of your man than he is.
Yeah, I would also, if I was Sherwood, I would go to a doctor's and get a medical certificate just to
so
show that my knees.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Just specifically just my knees were under the job.
Yeah. Harry would be like, we'll still cool the old way.
would you get Sherwood to go there with an actual tendon and offer it to Redknapp as a visual gag? You can have this one spare, I've got loads of them.
I think it might be a little beyond our Tim.
Possibly.
Our Tim.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a good start.
Yeah.
It's a very good start.
Can you imagine that route? Oh, those two men. Like, old yellowed wallpaper. They are.
Can I just say, Pete, you just reminded me of something. When I listened to the show from Thursday, at one point, certainly my favourite part was, I zoned out a little bit, but you were talking quite a lot about a film involving people shrinking and using pieces of toast as flotation devices. Then Marcus said, can we get back to how Gareth Southgate would get on as England manager? And you said, come on, get on with it.
It was the Incredible Shrinking Woman, apparently.
You said 9 to 5, Dolly Parton.
It was the same woman who was in that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to rake over old graves.
Yeah.
That's particularly a point. The hubris of the man.
That's right. Luke, what's your answer?
I would like to see probably the England job, and I would have Mourinho and Pards going up against it. Mourinho walking on like an old World War II veteran with all his medals pinned to his thing, and Pards just styling it out in the nicest suit he could.
No tie, open shirt.
With some medals he's made out of foil.
No, one medal, runners-up medal for the FA Cup final, which he made himself.
Yeah.
He made up a milk bottle top, and then just going at it.
What do you mean, a fight? Or?
Yeah, last 10 minutes is a proper strip to the waist.
Actual.
And when the tie goes out on the Thames, they're on the gravel.
On the estuary.
Fight to the death.
Yeah, fight to the death. Yeah.
With old ring poles stuck to their back.
Answer me this, Spilsy. Mourinho against Pardew in a fight to the death, Queensbury rules, stripped to the waist.
Queensbury rules? That's the old-fashioned...
The old-fashioned boxing rules.
Pugilism.
Yeah, pugilism. Who comes out of there alive?
It's going to take a long time if it's to the death with those rules.
Depends.
Okay. Depends. I think, you know what, taking the whole death thing out of it, I think Pardew would do quite well in that, because no one would expect anything from him, and he can do smug well, can't he? He can undercut a man.
But I think 2 points. One is, I guess you can't really do Queensbury rules and to the death, so I guess just to the death, anything goes. Secondly, I think Jimmy might be being a bit seduced by the media's impression of Pardew as a, in quotes, young manager, when he isn't actually that young.
I'm not saying he's young, but I mean in terms of experience and, you know, what he's actually won compared to Mourinho. He's a dwarf, surely.
He's being seduced by Pardew, Jim, isn't
we all have.
I remember.
Yeah.
You say, I'd love to see a fiercely contested debate.
Well, this is it, because actually in that debate, Mourinho wins hands down.
No, because we're living in the world of post-truth politics. Pardew could just say, well, yeah, you know, you won however many Premier League titles. I've won eight.
I've won eight World Cups as well.
Yeah, they haven't.
Believe me, I've won eight, believe me.
That's the point I was going to say.
I've got the best cups. You don't even know how many cups I've got. I've got so many cups. I'm the best guy for cups.
Pardew could claim that he had an influence in the 66 World Cup win.
He could.
And then in the second debate, if Mourinho said, what were you going on there? He'd go, nah. I don't remember saying that.
Yeah.
But then some people would think, did he have an influence?
Yeah, the seed would have been planted already.
Exactly.
Pardew might get the old Tic Tacs out. You're going for a kiss. I just can't.
It would certainly throw you, wouldn't it?
It's like a magnet.
It's like a magnet.
Yeah.
Peter, what you got?
I will get Steve Bruce, Steve Bruce, and new Steve Bruce. Because he's lost a load of weight.
One's a middleweight, one's a super heavy.
Yeah.
Middle.
And just get him. Because I originally thought maybe get Arsene Wenger and a mirror, so there'd be another Arsene Wenger and he could just talk.
Well, like a budget.
Just sort of discuss Arsenal's failings.
Sorry, and the results have come in, and no one's won.
But I think it'd be lovely watching Big Bruce and Little Bruce.
Would you mean Bruce
Almighty and Bruce all tighty? Going at each other, having a big old scrap.
Does this involve some sort of time machine?
Would you have Bruce the player and the manager, or are you going specifically on the weight?
Because I'm just blown away how much weight he's lost in the last month or so.
Pete, you'd have to get those two machines, like in the film The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
And Steve Bruce has to come out of one, and the other Steve Bruce has to come out the other. And one would be young.
Don't mix it up with Paul Jewell.
What if it's like four... Yeah, but what if it's recursive and you become four Steve Bruces stuck together?
Ooh.
Yeah, horrible
like
mess.
It look a bit like in John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah, to be fair though, as long as only one head was above the neck, you could get away with that. It's a big enough tracksuit.
It's a wardrobe issue, nothing more.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. But Bruce, he has lost a lot of weight, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
Spills, he's gutted about that.
I know.
I'm not gutted.
He loves it. I'm not good about anything.
That's great because
he's been gutted.
But it's less Steve Bruce to go around, though, isn't it?
He'll go on longer though because he's fit and healthy.
Right. There's more to love, Marcus, and I think you realise that. Your face is not telling any lies.
I'm beaming. Yeah. I'm Willie Beeman right now.
So, Pete, you've gone for two iterations of the same man.
Yes. Like 3 months apart. I don't know how he's done it. He looks great.
Yeah, he looks...
Well done, Brucey.
Yeah. Are they both going for the village job as well?
Yeah, they're both duking it out.
Dream team. They both get it.
So you imagine people in the audience being confused. They're both going for the same job. One's the fat version of the other.
So obviously gonna What's go... the debate?
Isn't that the usual choice of a new managerial position anywhere? Just old, grey, fat men.
Steve Bruce and a version of, basically.
Steve Bruce is the best version of the Steve Bruces.
This has turned into a really sort of erudite social commentary of Charlie Brooker-esque proportions about the state of men in the world. Well done, mate.
Yeah, cheers,
mate. One half, in reality, it would just be Steve Bruce, skinny Steve Bruce.
Yeah, skinny.
Steve Bruce Mark II, if you like.
Let's say, talking
with a lot of energy, and Steve Bruce Mark I just stuffing his face.
Yeah.
Before diving off a boat into a bit of water.
Steve Bruce and Steve Bruce Finest. Something like that.
Yeah. What's the positives of hiring one or the other?
I mean, you set up the question as if it's going to happen, so...
Go on.
What do you mean? What are the positives?
You're saying they're having a debate. What are they debating?
The best thing we're going to get out of this, Marcus, is an image. And I'm giving the people the image of a fat Steve Bruce and a skinny Steve Bruce having a show.
Today. Okay.
Yeah. I'm giving so much to the people.
Pete, insight.
Little Pete, where's he?
Little Pete, yeah.
Little Pete and also, Pete. Also small Pete.
So small we can't see him.
Little insight behind the curtain for listeners. Last thing uttered by any of us before the mics went up was Pete saying, "What's the opening question this week?" So that might answer all the questions you've probably got when you're sat on the bus at the moment listening to this show.
That's right. But I appreciate you giving the listeners an image. And
all he's had to do is pick two people.
Yeah.
He's picked two versions of the same one. Just that, Marcus, you might as well just said, Pete, what's the opening question this week? Just think of two people.
If it's not too much trouble.
Why start there?
Oh, I've only got two versions of one person at the moment in my mind.
Just say it. Yeah. Why start by going into the hedge maze? Why not start in the middle?
Yeah, good point.
But you had two lots. In fact, Arsene Wenger, you didn't even have two versions of. You had him in a mirror. Yeah.
What's yours then, short stack? Come on.
Come on, Spelsy, let's have it.
Right then. The British Olympic football team. And the managerial position will be debated between Craig Brown and Terry Venables.
Revert to type.
Well, I never mentioned
Venables. I genuinely prefer Pete.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
I think Terry Venables would see that position as being very tenable.
Yeah, you've got about 10 seconds to rescue this with a Craig Brown impression.
Well, there was a...
who did you consider, Marcus? Now you've got to name every man.
Yeah.
The reason why I chose these two is because, as we saw on the debates...
50 seconds.
Taxes and treatment of women were at the forefront of the debate.
Yeah.
So I picked these two.
Oh, what are you trying to say?
What are you trying to say, Marcus?
No. I'm not trying to say anything.
Yeah.
Right, are we done?
You're the ringmaster,
mate.
Yeah.
I'm not the one, Steve Bruce, diving into a big pile of libel.
This happens every time. I sit here and I start.
And
all
you throw
your
out little, you throw out little kind of like bits for the lawyers. Yeah. We've got to tidy up your dirty mess, haven't we?
I don't think it's fair. We have to hear that and not hear the end bit. It'll
yeah,
pay off.
We've got 20 seconds.
Okay, right.
Anything else to add, Marcus?
On the positive, he didn't mention Sven.
Jim's got the points. There we are.
Not yet. Jim's got the points in the second.
Oh, here we go. Come on, hurry up. Get it out of the way, then.
Here we go.
And Jim's now got the points.
No, still going.
Jim. It's European World Cup qualifiers time.
Yeah.
Oh, God. A conundrum of epic proportions.
You see what happens when you try and hijack... the running order. Are we ready then? Jim's
I don't know if
points.
I can carry on living the lie that international football is really good.
We have said wobbling? It on more than one occasion. We said it in the book a few times as well. And it's true in the book. We go back to the heyday of international football.
Look, but this is the cycle of it, isn't it? You get demoralised by what happens at a tournament. And then you feel slightly kind of lethargic towards the qualifying campaign when it starts. It gets further in. The tournament comes around again. You start getting excited again.
It turns up with flowers.
Again, and it's just the same. Yeah, exactly. The same thing.
Flowers and Gary's chocolate.
I think I need to re-sort of plot my position, which is that I like international football, but only within the start and finish of a tournament.
Okay.
Right.
I can't get into it. I can't,
it's too spread out, isn't it?
I can't sit here on this show and tell the people that listen that I watched the England-Malta game and enjoyed it.
Luke, 5 words for you. Wayne Rooney did get nutmegged. Possibly 6.
Wayne
Nutmeg is one.
That's fine.
Yeah. Nutmeg is one word, yeah.
Yeah. But what's your point? What's your point?
What?
What's your point?
It was funny.
It got booed.
Did he get booed
for being nutmegged?
One of the things that's not been mentioned about the Wayne Rooney beard is that Marcus, you and Jim, you probably remember, Pete doesn't remember anything from about 1995 on.
Nah.
Did Alan Shearer get booed a lot towards the end of his England career? I think he did. I think he got booed by when the England team was travelling around. I think Alan Shearer was getting booed by a lot of people.
He got
then.
Booed when he wasn't scoring, wasn't he? Because he went like
no, but that was
five
that
games
was before that. That right. was in 95 going into 96. Mm. After that, I think he was being booed by a lot of different fans of clubs.
He was,
and he was doing well at the time. So it's not a new thing.
Well, he had a bit of a dip in form and scoring. I don't know about scoring for England, but I can remember when mates of mine would be really pleased when he would be scoring goals at club level.
Yeah,
show people that he was still good when he played for international level. But at the same time, other mates were like, he should never be in the England team.
The difference is when that happened back then to Alan Shearer and players like that. I think maybe Michael Owen.
The
other way around, really. No, it's basically a player like that getting booed was more like, oh, you don't care about the national team. You score for your club. Oh, you don't care about England. It's not really like that with Rooney, is it? People are more booing the fact that he's playing at all.
Yeah.
Because the narrative at the moment is that he's past it.
I can't think of it, and this is obviously no disrespect to people generally, but I can't think of anything more boring than reading Kieran Gibbs has been called up to replace Ryan Bertrand after England beat Malta 2-0 at home.
It's like grey, beige, square, oblong, beige. So it sounds the same.
It's funny, I was looking forward to having you back on the show. Luke. All you've done is gone, I don't like international, this is boring. I mean, if you've got a better idea to fill the next 40 minutes other than talking about international football.
I tried to bring up the thing about Pete using toast as a flotation device earlier.
But what's wrong with that?
We'd already talked about that.
Well, it was wrong, that's what.
I feel like I missed out.
Working 9 to 5. You gonna use a toast as a float to moon?
Are you reading
on? Why did none of us pick up on how weird that is at the time?
Because Pete said it.
Yeah
true.
Are you reading off a rival running order?
No.
Right.
He's not staging a coup.
It wasn't off the running order. It was more of a general point about the news reporting that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I think that's possibly more interesting than Wayne Rooney's going to be a sub in the next
with
game.
With Kieran Gibb, though, he has been called up. As you say, he's had to cut his mid-season break short.
Well, why is he on holiday?
mid-season break? Where's this come from?
Arsene Wenger gave him a few days off, so he was straight to the Middle East. I think he was in Dubai or Abu Dhabi.
He's thinking, I don't think Wenger's going to notice if I just nip off.
Maybe.
Montreal's indestructible.
Yeah. Would you be pleased or a bit pissed off if you're sunning yourself, you're having a nice time, but you get a break of it and someone says, oh, good news, you've been called up to the England squad, and you're like, I'm not going to play. I'd rather stay out here. But you can't say that because it would show an enormous lack of ambition.
You so would.
Jim, would you interrupt your holiday for an England call-up?
No, because it would just lead to embarrassment for everyone involved. If I was a good footballer, I would.
I would love to see you play for England.
Imagine it.
That'd be fantastic.
I think I'd get booed quite quickly.
I think people would love it.
You reckon?
Yeah, listen, you tune up at home to Malta and they bring someone who literally isn't a footballer. That's a great development.
Actually, Pete, you've had an offer of being able to manage a team for a bit. Let's see if we can set that up for me to play for England.
Yeah. I think that's how it works. You're up next, to be honest. The amount of injuries England have got. Yeah. Or pull-outs.
You don't really understand the footballing pyramid or anything.
What I would say,
I'm just a very ambitious man who doesn't want to do a lot of work.
I would say, is there a direct flight from Abu Dhabi to Slovakia or wherever we're playing?
Slovenia. Take an interest. Have a go at him. Slovakia, different
I've got Slovenia mixed up with Slovakia. Sorry, everyone.
Sort of thing a warlord would say.
I just don't know whose aerospace is which, and I'll fly my jets wherever I want.
Actually, when I said on the last show it was a local derby, isn't it? They don't even border each other, Slovakia and Slovenia. So calm down, everybody. Yeah.
calm down, all us Slovaks.
What about
in?
Andrew Hogg in the Malta goal? He had a great game. He was born in Kingston upon Thames in Surrey, as was I.
Sounds like the bloke you went to school with, who's now an accountant,
but also plays in Malta.
Yeah. He might be on the side. I think he is actually a professional footballer. But there was one or two of the Maltese team. One of them, I think, works in an airport.
Yeah, I think that.
Was... I had a lovely story. Have you ever been to the airport that is wonderfully called London South End?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is obviously on the coast in Essex. So you can see the sea. A mate of mine recently
profoundly
flew out...
in Essex.
Yeah. Right. A mate of mine recently flew out there and he said they had a drink before they got on the plane. Oi, oi. And the barman obviously served them. And then when they went to check in, or rather get on the flight, it was the barman. And then when they got on the flight and the guy who was doing the last security checks came in, it was the barman.
Wow.
It was that small an operation.
Then,
I think there was...
And then across the tannoy, I'm Pilot McDrinky Pants.
Public address system.
Yeah, I don't know where we're going, but hey. Someone once told me that, you know, I might have said this before.
It's a lovely old job, that.
Someone once told me that, you know, when you get on a plane and the captain comes over, it's always very reassuring. And
If it's a refined English accent.
If you read the book, The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe, he talks about in America the tradition for being very folksy and very comforting comes from a guy called Chuck Yeager, who I think was one of the first people to break the sound barrier. But in England, it's very mostly upper middle class. Very,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Posh reassuring. Someone once said to me that we grew up on that. We're used to having that when they're flying from British airports and stuff. They were in Australia. Mm-hmm. And they were in Melbourne or Adelaide or something like that. They got on the plane.
Oh, man.
And they were doing an internal Australian flight. Mm. And they got on the plane, sat down, strapped themselves in, waited for a thing. And the pilot came over and just went, "G'day, we're going to Sydney."
We're going to crash.
Don't they occasionally do little jokes where they're sat on, where the pilot will be sat in in upper class or something, and it'll go over the intercom? Public address system. Yeah. Can anyone fly a plane? And they go, "Oh yeah, that's me." And then he gets up and he goes, "Ha ha, fly the effing plane."
Heard that. I've never heard anyone say
just
that.
Fly the plane, dickhead.
A friend of mine was on a plane.
That's what I shout.
A long haul international flight, and he said, "You know, in that accent, as we talked about, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be flying now. There's a bit of turbulence, could be a little bumpy on takeoff, but do not worry."
They don't say, "Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be flying now."
Whatever he said.
Let's take this whirly bird up.
And he said,
"I could do loop the loop.
I've counted the wings. We've got two. We're going.
Let's have a loop the loop up in this bitch."
The funniest thing you ever said, easily the funniest thing you've ever said, Luke, was when we were on a flight to Johannesburg. He said, "God, this flight do a loop the loop," and I laughed for ages. Yeah. And I think about that quite a lot.
A strange sense of humour.
Not worth bringing up.
Anyway, the pilot said to reassure everybody, you know, it's going to be a little bumpy, but do not worry. This plane is immensely powerful. It's very reassuring, isn't it?
It is.
Can I also pick up a
He sounds like he had an erection at the time, which worries me. I'm going to put it in a duct.
When you said London South End, obviously isn't it in London?
Yeah.
It must only be London City Airport that's got a London postcode. Heathrow hasn't. Gatwick hasn't.
Jesus Christ.
Aviation
we will
ramble.
Talk about anything.
You really don't want
anything.
To talk about international football, do you?
All I'm saying is I listened to the show the Thursday. You guys were struggling. I'm just trying to bring something along.
I think it's fascinating that companies like EasyJet and Ryanair and stuff, they make airports work effectively, and certainly like Luton and places like that. Those airports wouldn't exist without these companies.
This is getting ridiculous. We need to go back to at least to England 2, Malta 0. Just for something.
Take an ad break, yeah?
Rooney, there's big talk that he's going to be dropped for the game against Slovenia.
Big boring talk again, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but is that not quite boring?
Did you see him in the last 10 minutes of that
player
match?
Player who's not very good dropped from team who also aren't very good.
He was walking. Walking around.
Peter, can you fade your own mic down?
He's playing like he's got a washing machine on his back
and his front. And he's just sort of, stuck between them.
He mears
around.
He's really trying hard to get out.
Just sort of accepted his fate.
Yeah. He's like an old man that's wandered on the field. He may as well have one of those sleeping hats on and like a little candle, like Wee Willy Winky.
I'd love it if they made him wear that, a little captain sleepy
he's
hat.
The country's top scorer.
Yeah. Well, this is it though, isn't it? I mean, the booing thing is a bit short-sighted and annoying. And as we've said so many times about Rooney, he can be quite a patchy player, and he's shown that throughout his career. He goes on these real hot streaks, and I'm sure we're not going to see like the goal he scored against Newcastle, that incredible volley, and the overhead kick against City. I don't think we're likely to see many more of those out of Rooney, if any. But yeah, as you say, it's boring that it's such big news that he's being dropped. But at the same time, you know,
it is big news.
He's England's all-time top scorer.
But he's not done himself any favours, has he? I mean, you used to at least, even when he was playing badly, is he getting dispossessed and him absolutely busting his ass to get back and fouling and getting a yellow card. At least he'd get that back in the day, but you just get this man ambling around, really sort of assuming that he's still got the touch in him to, lay the ball off, but frequently he messes it up.
I don't know if it's an assumption. I think he's just trying to help where he can, and he knows that he can't play in that forward role anymore better than other players can, so he's just trying to help where he can. I think that's fair enough. If he's being picked, he's got to play to the best of his ability. But, you know, all this said, it is becoming a problem, isn't it? And I think it's the right move from Southgate. Everyone's been crying out for it for ages, and now people are really annoyed about it.
The issue is one of arrogance, I think. I think you've been too generous to Rooney there.
But he's not picking himself, is he?
No, but I think he's got... Well, that's another issue. Another issue is a lot of managers are completely seduced by him. The point is, there are players around, probably someone, I'm trying to think of one now, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
But Steve Bruce or a skinny Steve Bruce?
Yeah, there are players, if you could have two Steve Bruce people, right? But there are players who are happy to take maybe a bit more of a back seat as they get older and play, do their bit for the squad and have a role to play. Rooney clearly isn't able to do that, and he isn't one of those. So the most pertinent thing to do is to drop him from the team. It's to drop him from the squad, in fact. Because you can't make... No one can sit in this room and say that Wayne Rooney is the best player in any position that he's playing in England to play in that position. He's only playing in it because he's Wayne Rooney, and that's when there's a problem. The way you make that problem go away is by not picking him. Mm. I understand the point that he's not going to say, oh, actually, don't pick me, unless he retires, which he's already sort of intimated he's going to do after the World Cup in 2018, which is a very clever move by him and his people, because one, it essentially secures him the record appearances for England. Essentially assures him to be part of every squad up to and including the World Cup in 2018, and massively increases his personal brand, which is something would have been advised to do.
But for that reason, do you think this is Southgate's attempt at trying to start phasing him out? It might even be from on up high, because Southgate, you know, is, I think, very unlikely to take on the job full time, so he's not going to be the one that sort of takes any sort of fall for it. So if he makes it so that it's okay to not pick Wayne Rooney, it makes it so much easier for the next guy coming in.
That's probably part of it, yeah. But in the meantime, there's an England football team to talk about. There's an England football team to actually go out and actually win games. And this is a complete sideshow, because we are obsessed in this country with talismanic individual players. And you can chart it back as far as you want to go. You can chart it all the way back to when football became a part of the modern psyche and became part of everyday life. Before Rooney, it was Owen or Beckham. Before that, it was Gaskell. And before, it goes all the way back. They'll find someone else. It'll probably be someone like Dele Alli after Rooney goes. And guess what? We won't win anything, because all we'll do is rely on one player and obsess about whether he's going to get 100 caps or not.
Do you not think Wayne Rooney's the last player of that kind of big megastar generation? The next players, charisma-wise, don't have it. You know, they don't really have... Who's the naughtiest boy? It's probably...
probably Ali
Vardy
again.
Or something. It's probably Vardy, isn't it, really? It's like the most charismatic one.
And he's not a starter.
And I think it'll be the watermark. It'll be the high tide that as soon as he goes, the England team can, consolidate to being a mid-table, international concern.
I think you're right. I think that Rooney...
Vardy's old as well, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, true. But with regards to the gold generation, we thought that had gone. I think Rooney is perhaps the last relic of that,
There'll always be another one coming along.
There'll always be another one coming along. We're going to talk more international football after this.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome back. What's this that I have for you? It's an Audible offer. We talked about this on the preview show. It's such a no-brainer, ladies and gentlemen. This genuinely is a brilliant offer. This is why we're quite excited to give it to you. Audible,
literally.
Pardon, Jim. audible.co.uk/footballramble. Go there. You can get a free copy of the audio book, The Football Ramble, which is a marvellous listen and read.
Read by us.
Ooh. Our beautiful voices are on there.
Davis wouldn't do it.
Sign up for that offer. Download it, and if you don't want to get involved, you can cancel your subscription free of charge, no strings, blah de blah de blah. It's an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah, we've given you 500-ish podcasts for free. Here's something else we're giving you for free. Stop moaning about it and go and do it.
It's a steal, but you're just allowed to have the thing.
Yeah. audible.co.uk/footballramble, and if you do cancel your subscription, you still get to keep the book.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Mm. Good point. Peter.
Thanks. Whether you'd want to listen to it twice, I don't know. You'll find out.
That's right. Well, you want to watch England twice. They are playing Slovenia away. But elsewhere in the group, Scotland drew at home with Lithuania. We said that this is a great chance for Scotland, because of all the seeded teams they could have chosen, it would probably be England, because they're probably one of the poorest.
Yeah.
And it's a derby match, of course, and Scotland could definitely take points off England. The games that they let themselves down with, like they did last time, was not against the Irish, wasn't even against the Polish or the Germans. It was against that game away to Georgia. Many Scotland fans lamented that. Yeah. And then
very hot day, that, wasn't it, from memory? They struggled with tempo and they were very, very disappointing.
Yeah, but home to Lithuania, a side that are well down the rankings. I know Lithuania aren't... it's not like San Marino or something like that, but it's desperately disappointing.
They've got to be winning those games at home if they want to qualify. And you said it as well before, mate. It's about their lack of goal scorer, isn't it? Or like their lack of having that sort of quality of being able to just put those chances away. That said, I think they're unlucky to not have maybe a couple of penalties. And Lithuania's goal was brilliantly well worked.
Lithuania were unlucky not to have a pen.
It was a lovely 1-2 for their goal. Nice, yeah, sort of very, very convincing finish.
Sorry, Jim.
It was a very well worked team goal. There was a lot more to it than just a simple 1-2 overall, but it's almost like they need Oliver Burke to just become Gareth Bale, don't they? They need some sort of spark like that, because they've got problems at the back, they've got problems up front, and they don't look as good as a nation of their calibre should.
Yeah, well, Strachan has pointed out what needs to happen in the group, and I think it's something to do with it being crazy. He said, if it's not a crazy group, then the team from Pot 2 goes through. If it is a crazy group, you are hoping that you will get there. If it wasn't crazy, we'd go home because we're the pot four team. I think it's going to be a crazy group again. It's a crazy group already.
Wow. It sounds like a man who's, like, I don't know, filming an infomercial about his crazy savings.
We're never going to survive unless you get a little crazy, Marcus.
Yeah, that's right.
In the words of the great Seal.
Yeah.
Was it Seal first? Yeah, it was Seal, wasn't it?
Kissed by Danny Rose.
Regardless of how sort of negative we all are about England, their record in qualification is obviously fantastic. I mean, they won every single game last time, and they're unbeaten in a lot of qualifiers now, England. And they haven't even conceded a goal for a while. I think the last time they conceded a goal was actually against Slovenia, where they beat them 3-2.
3-1, was it?
3-2, I think. But so what I was just going to go on to say is I think for that reason alone, it's looking like Scotland and one or two others are going to be going for second place. It's really important Scotland beat Lithuania in that situation, and they didn't. So it's going to be tough for them now, it really is.
Well, Slovakia have had a terrible start. I mean, they had England.
This is the bonus for Scotland, isn't it? This could let them in.
Yeah, well, I mean, Slovenia, they beat them 1-0. And Slovakia lost against England, and then they've lost there. So, okay.
Slovenia-Slovakia, that's like two Steve Bruces, isn't it? One's slightly different than the other.
If you've had a drink...
Yeah, stop trying to justify that answer.
Let's move on to Group D. But with regards to what you're saying about England and where teams will finish, you remember that the top teams from each group will qualify with just the runners-up going through to the playoffs. It's a bit more stingy.
Definitely, I think the worst place, the second place, doesn't go through at all, do they?
I'm not sure.
I think that might be a little twist in the tail for all you horror fans out there.
Watch out.
For all you John Carpenter fans, all you M. Night Shyamalan fans out there.
But it's important to remember that, because there will be some handy sides in those playoffs. There usually is anyway, but for example, Italy and Spain are in the same group. One of them will be in the playoffs. The Netherlands, if they are a decent side again, they're in with France. There will be some
you could get Wales,
teams.
Republic of Ireland, Serbia, could get any of those.
Even those sides, Wales drew 2-2 in Austria. Not a shock, you know, decent point, I suppose. And then drew 1-1 at home to Georgia.
Yeah, that's bad.
Georgia weren't bad against Ireland, by the way. I watched that game.
A bit of a scare,
I was in Dublin
they?
And I saw that, and they weren't too bad.
But that's a bad result for Wales. Like two on the bounce, really. The form they've been in with the Euros and the sort of the high from it, you would really. I suppose we've all assumed it would carry on, but as we said, it does bring its own pressures, doesn't it?
Well, Wales would have been hoping for probably 4 points from those matches, and again at home to Georgia. Georgia, like you say, they've got some all right players now. These sides, the likes of Georgia, and we'll come on to.
They got a good draw in Austria, didn't they, Wales? That was a positive result for them. They've not lost a game in the qualification yet.
No, sure, but sides like Georgia, they are actually all right sides now. Yeah. And these results can happen. But again, because you've got to be going for that top spot, you know, look at the group: Serbia, Austria, Ireland, Wales. Again, top spot. It's not like it was in the Euros.
And missing Aaron Ramsey as well, which he's a big loss for them.
Yeah, but did you see Gareth Bale when his hair was.
He
came out, his bun was undone, and you saw his hair in full flow.
Has he got some follicle-related problems?
Yeah, weren't we sort of saying, wasn't somebody pointing out that his hair has gone a bit baldy bumps?
A drone caught it, didn't it, perhaps?
Part of the rumour, not caught his hair.
The rumour is he has a man bun because of male pattern baldness.
Really?
I just can't see that. He's too rich.
He looked like some sort of warrior, Celtic warrior.
He needs to go to Canada where Antonio Conte went, because whoever did Conte's hair did a brilliant job.
Well done. And that's why that surgeon's going to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Dean Windass has gone bankrupt, by the way.
Oh, he has, yeah. Terrible news.
Not a laughing matter.
No. He better not sell off our Hall of Fame.
Completely unendorsed or licensed Hall of Fame.
I just hope it's not on any invoices.
He'll be knocking the door asking for a pound note if we're not careful.
Oh, my goodness. The Republic of Ireland, 2 wins, puts them in good stead. They beat Moldova 3-1 away. And they've got the game away against Serbia out of the way. They've still got to play the Welsh twice.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, they're only 2 points ahead of Wales, and they've got to play each other, so it's not cut and dried by any means.
This is a game that will interest one Pete Donaldson. Serbia 3, Austria 2.
Mitro's on fire.
Two goals.
A really badly internet rendered defence is terrified. Trying to figure out who was. I think that's him.
What wow. Do you see his celebration?
Great match as well.
His celebration was strange. He basically put his face on the corner flag and span around it.
Yeah.
Oh, like a dizzy stick.
Yeah, but with his face on the flag. It was weird.
Oh, right.
It's worth remembering that man's like only 22, 23. He's not an old man.
He looks like evil Messi. Like if Messi had a dark side that had been, or some sort of demon that had been sort of exercised out of him, that's how he'd look.
Tadic, who got the winner, assisted both goals. He loves an assist, old Tadic.
Mm. Good player.
He's a good player. Mm.
Quite underrated, actually, isn't he? It's almost like Southampton don't get enough airtime on this show, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about Northern Ireland in Group C? Beat those slugs San Marino 4-0. Yeah. Put them to the sword.
You know what? That was obviously it's San Marino at home, and San Marino have got 10 men. But they were 1-0 up when they went down to 10 men, I believe, weren't they? But the confidence they displayed afterwards, that confidence is exactly what got them to the Euro. So they need that, and I think this would do them really well. And Stephen Davis, his work for the fourth goal, Carl Lafferty's second,
delish!
Was absolutely brilliant. It was one of those things where the commentators on the highlights I saw of that said, "Oh, if Messi or Ronaldo did that, we'd be talking about it for ages." I'd like to see this flipped on its head. Next time Ronaldo or Messi does something brilliant, I'd like to hear the commentator say, "That was good," but just imagine. If Jonathan Walters had done that, we'd be going mental.
Well, it's like Hal Robson-Kanu, who's a famous Savage commentary, isn't it? He's like, "If Messi had done that, he'd be talking about," which I kind of agree with, to be honest. But,
yeah, of course, but you hear that so often.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, they say, "Oh, well, if Messi'd have done that," well, you're the one talking about it, so talk it up.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Oh, well, if he did that, but it's just happened. Yeah. It's just happened, and you're the one talking about
it. The only one around there with most power is you.
Yeah, exactly. What are we all meant to? I don't get that.
Mm. Yeah, it's like they're having a go at us.
Yeah. For something that's just happened. it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Elsewhere in that
group. I didn't write it.
Azerbaijan, the land of fire.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey, they melted.
Big Bobby Pig doing the business.
Robert Prozinecki. Yeah. In charge of them.
It's a nice goal as well, by the way. Yeah.
Hey, Norway were melted.
That's
the land of fire.
Looked ginormous, I'm going to say.
Norway haven't been to a World Cup since 1998, which was only their third appearance at the finals. Yeah. I thought they had a bit more pedigree.
Well, I guess because they had a little bit of pedigree when we were growing up.
Maybe. They're only above San Marino on goal difference after two matches at the time of recording.
Stinking, isn't it?
Are people of our sort of vintage thinking about them in World Cup 94? Is that why?
Maybe. 94 and 98.
Yeah, because we think, they're really good, but they're not a hugely popular or traditional footballing team, are they?
True, but they've beaten England a couple of times over the years. I think that's another.
Yeah, but also we subsequently learned that isn't that big a deal.
the guys who played for up front for Milan back in the day, were they Swedish? Gunnar Nordahl?
Yeah,
they weren't Norwegian.
No. Yeah. You're thinking of the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Two Gunnars.
Either way, we got a live show in Norway, didn't we?
Yeah, we did in Oslo.
We had a lovely time.
Yeah, they're desperate for football. They're on their arse over there. They even want us over there.
Yeah, according to Roy Hodgson, he created the game over there.
Yeah.
And we've...
using a really boring England tactics book.
And look
at them now.
And we stood on the shoulders of Hodgson in that lovely live show in Oslo, which was a great time. But elsewhere in the group, Germany beat the Czech Republic 3-0. Now, according to FIFA, Germany, prior to this qualifying campaign, had played 84 World Cup qualifiers, winning 64, drawing 18, and losing 2. In their history, Germany have only lost 2 World Cup qualifiers.
Are you going to tell us?
Well, they're unbeaten away from home in World Cup qualifying history.
That's it, history. Just ever, that's it. They're unbeaten away from home, that's it.
Well, in World Cup qualifiers, because European Championships are obviously different.
Have they ever beaten England? In famous friendlies, though.
They've beaten England in friendlies, certainly.
And they still take more risks than England. You know,
it's crazy. They beat away from home. I mean, that's...
They beat England in the final game at Wembley, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Didn't that do for Keggy?
Well, the only two home losses that Germany have had were against Portugal in 1985, they lost 1-0, and in 2001 against Sven's men. When England won 5-1.
Oh, of course, that was a qualifier.
Yeah, World Cup qualifier. So actually, that 5-1, you think, oh my goodness, that's that, I mean, it was quite startling at the time because England won 5-1 in Germany. But when you put it into that context, it's actually even more of an anomaly, really. Mm. They've lost a few more European Championship qualifiers as well, but not that many. Whereas compared to England's record, England have played 104 World Cup qualifiers. And you're thinking, why have Germany played, you know, sort of 20-odd less? Well, because you used to qualify as World Cup winner.
Yeah.
So that's why they won it so many times.
And to be fair, they've hosted one as well.
They have hosted. Yeah.
Well, and there was two of them, like Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
West and East.
There was West and East.
West Bruce, East Bruce.
Yeah, but they were two very different sides, though.
One's an East German spy who's fallen in love with the other one across the Berlin Wall.
England to be fair, like you said, Luke, that England's World Cup qualifying record isn't too bad. In 104 matches, England have lost 11.
Yeah,
which isn't too bad.
But what I would say is that in recent history, England always do very well in qualifying. But teams like Italy, teams like Spain, always seem to lose one match 1-0 because they've gone for the win.
Actually, we never seem to
do that. We just professionally get on with it, and we usually, you know, provide a moribund performance.
You're saying
but
England are better than Spain and Italy, is what you're saying?
Well, actually, qualifying, yeah, probably.
Well, England have only lost two World Cup qualifiers at home. In 1997, they lost 1-0 to Italy.
Yeah.
The famous Matt Letizier game.
Remember that, yeah.
And in 2000, 1-0 to Germany, the last game at Wimbledon under old Keggy.
Yeah.
So, actually, what I would like to suggest is...
Oh, that was really cool. That was a competitive game as well, not a friendly. I've got my...
World Cup qualifier.
My friendly memories are all askew.
Yeah, move the ball. Over... just go for it, guys. That's what would be my advice if I was the manager.
What I would like to suggest is...
Where's that coming from?
Can I have a drink of water? Yeah.
What I would like to suggest is this. How long is a tournament? Usually about 4 weeks, isn't it?
Well, about a week for him, then.
Yeah, okay. But if you're going to stay in the whole thing of the tournament, it's 3 to 4 weeks.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay? How long is a qualifying campaign? 18 months to 2 years?
Yeah,
something
it's
like
long.
That? Mm. Right. England's record at tournaments isn't brilliant.
No.
But in qualifying, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Playing the long game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone can turn up at a tournament and get lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you actually, I mean, what would you rather? Do well in 4 weeks or 18 months?
As we saw Wales get really lucky in the Euros in the summer.
A marathon, not a sprint.
Interesting than that.
Exactly.
We're purists.
Exactly.
It's for the honour, not the glory. mind you, Germany have won both their qualifying games this time around 3-0, and they're playing Northern Ireland at home tomorrow night, so I imagine they'll win that as well.
You never know. We're going to talk more international football after this.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my cube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 coming out this Friday. Dele Alli in England mugged us off. We predicted a 3-0 win. It should have been a 3-0 one because he blazed over over the bar right at the end, and that would have won us money for charity, or won charity money, rather.
You guys predicted England to win by exactly 3 goals, right? Mm. Yeah, that's a shame.
Close,
should have been. Should have been, yeah.
It should have been,
yeah.
But it flipping well wasn't.
I don't really have any sense of whether that performance against Malta was well received or not. I know we're going over old ground here, but
no, from what I've seen, people seem a little bit angry about it. But, you know, it's Gareth Southgate even said, I think the exact quote was something like one or two maybe looked after themselves physically in the second half, which is quite a ballsy thing for a manager to say, quite refreshing. Actually.
It is, but from the player's point of view, you can understand it because they're playing a qualifier, they're breezing through it. Why would you bust a gut?
Gareth Southgate's also, I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
I also really don't want to be here, so if I can remove myself from this.
Yeah, well, by the way, people who are slagging off Gareth Southgate going, oh, he looks like, you know, so many comments like, you
lemon,
know.
Lemon, barley, water in human form, I believe Pete said last week.
He looks like, someone on Twitter said he looks like your mate's younger. Your dad's younger mate who comes around your house when he's been dumped and all this kind of stuff, you know. And you think,
that's pretty good. I like that.
I think it's a bit harsh. We have to remember he didn't want the job.
Yeah,
so it's a bit harsh.
I think that he doesn't want to be around for a long time. He wants to be around for a good time. At the moment, he's having a bad time. So that's essentially his situation.
Wasn't that a sellout that match, though?
It was a big attendance.
80,000 or something.
81,000,
yeah.
I think, which is a hell of an attendance.
Insane.
Was it a real sellout, though? Was it really 81,000?
No, probably not. It was an Arsenal sellout, yeah.
No, every school child in Wembley was there.
Or at least accounted for.
Like the 90s.
Mm. What about in Group G? Italy won 3-2 away to Macedonia.
Yeah, that's a great game.
Big win for Italy, Jim, because they were 2-1 down, but Immobile saved the day, scoring on 79 and 91 mins.
You know, Buffon could have done better with both the goals, really.
Are we starting to see that? When they drew 1-1.
Graziano Pella had a bit of a mare, didn't he?
Oh, he did. He was subbed off against Spain and he didn't shake the coach's hand.
Yeah.
And he was sent home to China, which is not... Imagine going all the way from China.
Go home to China.
And he apologised. He even said on Twittergram, unfortunately, it's happened again.
What's Twittergram?
Did I say Twittergram? Yeah. Sorry, I was just trying to get us
he
back on track.
Said on the old face tunes.
What did he say on iBook?
On my face, he said. excuse me. excuse me. Carrying on with the old man theme. He said on Instagram, unfortunately, it's happened again. I've messed things up.
Oh.
I
love
that. I love that. It's excellent.
It's happened again, mummy.
It's like it's beyond his control. Look at
I've got brain cream in my eyes.
Frank Spencer. I was always partial to a bit of treacle pudding.
Oh, I've refused to shake his hand, and now this.
I'm off back to China.
Sent back to China, Pella. You mug. But it was a good win for Italy, though, against Macedonia, because remember, they've got to keep up with Spain if they want to qualify in first position.
Mm.
All to play
for. Gerard Piqué's a bit of a funny old time as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he said that he's going to quit after the World Cup, didn't he?
Familiar.
He said that people don't want him there or something.
Well, what it came from was the fact that apparently he cut his own sleeves off his jersey and had the Spain flag on it, and people saw that as disrespectful.
But it wasn't, though, was it? Because it was actually a long sleeve version of the kit, which doesn't have that on it.
Right.
So he wasn't being disrespectful.
Well, the report
people
I read,
don't like Catalans.
I took this sentence out of it. Piqué, who has an awkward relationship with Spain fans for his repeated jibes at Real Madrid and his constant support for a referendum on Catalan independence.
yeah.
So there you go. That's probably why.
You either want one of the best defenders of his generation, or you don't.
He's got 85 caps. Or something.
Jesus.
Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not at a point where they can afford to be throwing him away.
Yeah. Shakira's not rocking up to do concerts in, without him.
Imagine if England had like a centre back like Piqué. And I don't know, he was from Cornwall. And what did Cornish independence? Yeah. We're like, well, you're not playing for England then.
It's about as abstract. Well, it's not, but you know what I mean?
I thought it was okay.
More likely to be Yorkshire. Yorkshire love a bit of the old independence chat, don't they?
Do they?
No, but that's Cornwall's more, a bit more.
Yorkshire's tongue in cheek, I think. Whereas Cornwall, there is actually a few people.
But Yorkshire have actually done stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Digging at the Cornish.
No.
We haven't got a last show coming soon.
No, we're not going to call, are we?
Well, we've got a mutual friend on Facebook that yaps on about Cornish independence a lot, don't we?
Luke shaking his head, doesn't
like,
smiling.
Doesn't like football, so it's fine. He's never going to find out.
What's the matter? Why are you going quiet, Luke?
What's the matter? Oh, those lips are sealed. What is going on there?
Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Why have you gone quiet?
I will not use this organ as a vehicle to dig at people that Pete and I know.
On Instaface. Yeah. Only on Instaface.
What does this guy know about Luke?
Nothing, doesn't it? I've done here is I've made it worse than I should have done.
Just a man who talks about Cornish independence and nothing else.
He does. Okay. He does a lot of posts in Cornish as well, I think.
Does he?
Showing off. But no one's going to know, are they? No one's going to know if they're right or not.
Well, yeah.
That was a bit of Cornish there.
In group
no, Marcus, do some more, Pete.
Let's have more of this.
Oh, I'm going to go at you there, Marcus.
Ah. Can you say, hello, how are you? Could you show me to the local library?
Pastries.
There we are.
Pasties, not pastries, idiot. For God's sake.
In group what is it made of? Pastry or what?
This is in group I, Peter. I for independence.
There's no I in Marcus.
Actually, it would be quite a good one to talk about I for independence. You think about some of the nations in there. Croatia.
Yeah, Kosovo.
Kosovo.
Yeah, doing very well.
Ukraine.
Kosovo got a draw against Finland. They got a point against Finland.
They got a point.
Did everyone this summer go on holiday to Croatia?
No.
It just seemed to be the year. To be the year that everyone went on holiday to Croatia.
I went about 7 years ago.
So did I, mate. I went to Dubrovnik and Varna.
Lots of people go to Croatia on holiday.
I know, but this year in particular, it seems very popular.
Oh, right.
Game of Thrones, I'm blaming that.
Anything to say about the Dalmatian coast? That's the best part of it.
This group is particularly tricky to call. Now, Croatia are the favourites, but with Iceland, Ukraine, and Turkey in their two, Jim, it's very competitive.
Never discount the ICs.
Even Iceland have had a great couple of results.
They've had a great couple of results. Even Finland and Kosovo aren't mugs. There's no dead robbers in there.
I think Malta have got a bigger population than Iceland.
Wow.
Iceland have punched off the world.
Yeah, I know, but...
Well, if Iceland did qualify, they'd be the smallest nation to qualify for the World Cup.
Obviously, yeah.
That chat again. But it's weird, isn't it? Because Iceland, as you say, Jim, that great win against Finland, 2 injury time goals, and then they beat Turkey 2-0, which just seems normal now.
Yeah, that seems like form now, doesn't it? In terms of status of recent form, I suppose, you would expect the result to go that way. And Iceland still feel like everyone's second team, don't they?
They're not mine, mate.
Who are yours?
Hate them.
England.
England,
then Sven's England.
Old England, and
Old
then
England,
Slim
England.
England, and then. Yeah. Penalty shootout England, and first round England.
Who's your second international team? Probably England in Euro 96.
Maybe England under
21s.
But it's weird with Iceland. I mean, beating Turkey 2-0 at home, any international team would probably be pretty happy with that.
It's because they set their stall out by putting the Dutch to the sword. In the last eight qualifications.
Don't talk about Dutch swords.
Well.
Can't talk about that either.
You said don't talk about it. So
all right, fair enough. In Group B.
I'm lost.
B for bothered. Latvia. Oh, we talked about Faroe Islands on the last show, saying they weren't as bad and they're actually a little better than the likes of Gibraltar, Andorra and San Marino. They're second in their group, 1 point above European champions Portugal.
What is it about islands? Because you've got Faroe Islands, you've got Iceland, you've got Cape Verde Islands who do very well.
Britain.
Yeah.
Cape Verde.
They do well. They punch above their weight.
Yeah, New Zealand.
Pete, have you been to Cape Verde? You haven't, yeah.
Wasn't that the tenor of my argument when we talk? That's the only reason we talk about Cape Verde, isn't it?
Yeah. Pete goes to all the islands.
Portuguese islands.
You know, Ireland. You know, they're all there. Latvia, they lost 2-0 at home to the Faroe Islands. A 2-0 win on the road, Jim, in World Cup qualifying for those Faroes. It's wonderful. It's bloody wonderful. And I think you should remember that. Portugal are away to the Faroe Islands.
I can imagine Faroe Islands coming second in their group and beating Scotland in the playoff. The Faroe Islands is where Richard Keys did that famous thing, isn't it?
That's right. Daft little ground, silly game.
Fuck off.
Yeah, that was the Faroes.
Yeah, it was the Faroes.
And well, at the time of recording, they're 3-0 down at home to Portugal.
You're not fooling anyone, lads. Next goal's vital.
Yeah, it is.
I like about Keys is that he said something off air that he got caught out by a hot mic, and a lot of us have recently.
Yeah.
Me and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And, because I presume none of this is recorded. You'd think he'd learn.
What's happened is he's spent his whole life being an absolute bellend to everyone. Everyone wants to stitch him up.
Yeah. In a way, it's not even his fault.
One of the great truisms of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dark forces at work.
Be careful on the way up, because on the way down, it's going to be quick.
I did enjoy Cristiano Ronaldo celebrating each of his four goals against Andorra at home, celebrating them like they really, really meant something.
But he was getting kicked all over the place.
I said I enjoyed it, Jim.
What must it be like to have a talismanic forward for your international team to actually do really well and win a tournament?
He scored a perfect hat-trick as well.
Against Andorra, it doesn't count.
They played the last 20 minutes with nine men.
God.
I think Ali McCoy scored in that.
Coisty
and Fowler. They were on the couch together.
You're at home to Andorra and they've got nine men.
Yeah. Fowler and McCoy. Do you look at the scorers? They're both in there.
Are they?
Shall we have some highlights of the week?
Yeah. Your highlight of the week is Syria beating China 1-0 away.
What's wrong with that?
It's a great finish. You see the goal.
Lovely
goal.
What a win, though, considering Syria.
Fantastic.
Awful situation.
Fantastic.
Not that helps it, but it gives a flicker of a smile for some people.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't, Marcus. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't. Carry on, Matt Luke. Sorry.
Carry on, Lou.
Carry on, Lou.
You call me Matt Lou.
Matt Lucas.
Okay?
Am I on the Tuesday Club? Is that the Matt Lucas one?
No, it's Matt Lucas.
Yeah.
Matt Lucas is the guy who plays.
Yeah, he was George on an Dorf. Arsenal podcast.
Oh, was he?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I listened. I don't know about you guys. I'm a big Arsenal fan.
I loved him in Little Britain. Carry on.
This is with Aaron Pitt on the show this week. It's a bit like when you're in a pub and there's a noted social hand grenade also in the pub, and you're not sure what they're going to do next.
What's he muttering to himself? Don't worry, it's Cornish.
You want to go back and talk about England, do you? Come on.
I want to do highlights of the week for my excellent listeners, all who are capable of producing brilliant radio content.
Thank goodness.
First up, Jason James Charles Noble.
Oh, lovely.
My highlight of the week occurred during ITV's half-time coverage of the England game just before the ad break. After becoming slightly animated on the state of both the English and Welsh football teams, Lee Dixon slammed Ryan Giggs into silence with the line, "It's not our fault you didn't get the Swansea job, Ryan."
Oh!
Back of the net.
Fantastic.
I didn't see it, but it sounds funny.
Love that.
Finally got revenge for that goal in the FA Cup.
Yes, indeed. Ben Fraser, hello to you, Ben. England seem to have chanced upon a winning formula. New manager bounce. Make managing the national team like presenting Have I Got News For You. Mm. Guest manager every game.
Or like jury duty.
Yeah. Okay, what, 12
so you
people?
You've got to do it.
You've got 12 people, then.
they should do that for the subs.
Room stuff.
No, they're 11 of the players.
No, they should do that for the subs bench.
Yeah, okay.
You know that there will always be, I don't know, 5 or 6 subs who never play.
Yeah.
You should do that. Rotate them.
There you go. Worth thinking about. Yeah. Craig Clark. Jordan Pickford getting called up to the full England squad, meaning there are not only two Mackhams in the squad, but two Mackham Jordans. Mm. Young Pickers has had plenty of opportunity to show what he can do this season, and is one of the few to come out of any credit in yet another dismal August-September for Sunderland. I take it to Sunderland. Fan Craig, sorry to hear that.
Well done, Jordan.
Nathan Angus, after watching Pete Donaldson play FIFA on the Football Ramble YouTube channel, my highlight was knowing that even though my 7-year-old nephew can beat me, and even though Pete plays every single day, I could still beat him.
He kept on saying this all the way through the video that I keep playing every single day, and I know when he gets a little thread, he's happy to pick at it.
Who?
But I do not play every single day.
Nathan Angus?
I play for 1 week when FIFA comes out every year and then wait.
Yeah, but FIFA had just come out and it was in that week.
Yeah,
in the context of that week.
Remember,
I was on farmers,
then you locked us in your flat.
And then I locked you in my flat.
I think you probably play it 6 days out of every week.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And then play it every day. No. Technicality, you get away with it.
My highlight of the week was the entertainers, Newcastle United versus Manchester United, in honour of Pavel Sanicek, the late great Pavel Sanicek. His brother played in goal for a half, which is really nice.
Oh, Pastina Asprey couldn't start the game because of a hangover.
Because he was pissed. Yeah. Still pissed. Couldn't start, so Alan Shearer had to play for 45 minutes.
My
with a broken ankle.
My highlight was Alan Shearer's son tweeting that Pastina Asprey had given him a packet of his own branded condoms. Have you seen the face
on
it?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's him sort of making, let's say, his gravy face, as you probably call it.
In the match report, it kept mentioning that Bez was having a lovely time. And I was thinking they were talking about John Beresford. No, it was actually Bez from the Happy Mondays.
He was dancing on the pitch.
So he was playing.
I've got a couple more here. This is from Lee Rooney. He says, my highlight is Carlisle beating Morecambe 3-0. We're sitting in third ahead of Portsmouth. That's a dig. We're only one of only three unbeaten teams in the English Football League and Premier League, along with Bradford and Spurs this season. We've scored in every single league game. And for the second time this season, our away following of 1,996 outnumbered the home fans. Oh, and this magnificent flag made an appearance. Now, I obviously can't show you the flag on the show, but I can sort of describe it to you. Keith Curl is the manager, of course, and it's a picture of three pictures of Keith Curl. At the top saying, Mysterious Curl, I want to play 3-5-2. Oh, great. You get it? Mysterious Curl, I want to play 3-5-2.
Just not about bad. Works. Keith Curl's a very aggressive man.
Yeah, I didn't like him as a player.
What was the guy's name?
Lee Rooney.
I thought you might have dropped that one. Thank you.
Boom. More chat about Rooney. And I finish with this one from Mark Holland. He says, my highlight of the week, as it was International Week in October, it usually means it's my anniversary. Oh. I took my lovely wife and child to Edinburgh for a long weekend, and on the Sunday morning post Malta and post Lithuania we travelled home. I stopped at a local convenience store where the cashier was talking loudly to a regular, and she said, did you watch the footy last night? Bloody terrible. The regular confirmed he watched Strictly Come Dancing instead. The cashier exclaimed that Strictly would have been much more enjoyable, only for the regular to say, well, the bloody English won, and that means they're bloody winning the trophy again. You know, the same one they've tried to win since 1966, bloody England. At this point of the conversation, I had made it to the front to pay. The cashier asked if I watched the football, and all I could muster up to say in my English accent was, no, I did not, but I'm sorry England won. I'm too polite for my own English self.
Aww.
Thanks for that, Matt. That was very enjoyable.
Let me in the villa.
It would have been better if we could get Marcus to the Scottish accent on the convenience store employer.
I can do Cornish, if you want. Carry on.
I think you've done enough.
No thanks.
I think you've done enough. Any more for any more?
This is the audiobook thing. Genuinely can get it for free. Audible.co.uk/football ramble. Yeah, there's no reason to not do that.
Seriously. Fantastic.
They really, audible.co.uk/football ramble. Free audiobook, ladies and gentlemen. It's an absolute no-brainer. How many more times have I got to say it? Get involved.
Yes.
Oh, one more thing I will say, actually, is we're in Leeds doing the first live show of our tour on Friday night, and I think there are about 5 tickets left.
Ah.
So if you want to come, you still can.
Buy all 5. Lie on across them.
Yeah. It's at the Carriage Works in Leeds are this Friday, and we start at about 7:30, something like that.
How lovely.
How odd would it be if someone actually does do that in the front row? Just
either way,
at us.
We still get the ticket money.
There we are. We look forward to seeing those of you who are coming to the Q&A on Thursday, of course. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, Jim!
That's goodbye from me.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.